Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee and a great service department. And they need more technicians because they get so much business. Stop by in person, apply online at sunburymotors.com or call Todd at 286-7746. Dennis Dodd of CBS in a moment. First, our play-by-play call of the day, the Yankees, who have lost five consecutive series, avoid a sweep.
Donaldson could end it right here.
High fly ball, deep right, going back to Rosarena. See ya! A walk-off grand slam for Josh Donaldson, and the Yankees pull victory from the jaws of defeat. What a big win for the New York Yankees.
Well, Michael, can you say signature moment? Is that if you need one? Josh Donaldson just got one because the Yankees have been down and out, down three, his 12th home run of the year, obviously his biggest, a grand slam walk-off for the Yankees.
9-16 since the All-Star break, a blistering 360 pace, and the Yankees were able to pull one out last night. Tell me exactly what part I said was inaccurate.
Bingo!
Now, that is a great one, because, I mean, the Rays scored three in the top of the 10th inning. The Yankees are essentially dead in the baseball water. And to do that, that was dramatic. Let's see if that propels them to bigger and better things. Because they have not played well. They have now lost five consecutive series. Even with that win last night, they lost the series. Just kept them from being swept.
By the way, Steve, this just came in. Easton Oliverson, the Utah Little Leaguer, out of the ICU.
Great. Good news. Good news. By the way, the Little League game going on right now is in a lightning delay. Just so you know. And Hollidaysburg plays Pearl in Texas tonight on ESPN, too. So good, great for Easton. Everybody's wearing those bands, Easton. And it's great news that Easton's out of the ICU. Could not be in a better place, by the way. Geisinger, Janet Weiss Children's Hospital, couldn't be in a better place. All right, let's bring in Dennis Dodd, CBS, on an important day with the Big Ten TV deals. Dennis, great to have you with us.
Steve, how are you? Go ahead. Thanks for having me.
Hey, appreciate it, Dennis. Thanks for your time. So the TV deal now with the Big Ten is done. In the end, what does this do to the overall landscape as you see it?
Oh, it influences everything. I mean, the thing is, we knew it was coming. We knew the money. We didn't know the particulars, who was going to have the game, but we knew it was coming, and we could project the impact right down to more realignment, to playoff expansion structure, to playoff revenue now, maybe. I think this clears the way for the next discussion for the commissioners to discuss all that, the playoff stuff. It's now a reality that they're going to have to carve out, I think, and a lot of people think, some of this for the players. And I think the conference that does it first, if it is done that way, whether it's conference by conference, is going to have a huge advantage just in recruiting. I mean, think about if the Big Ten does revenue sharing. Whatever the number is, hey, you come here, you get X. I've already written about that. They could get around Title IX because the money's distributed by the conference office, which does not get federal funds. So they could give it just to the revenue sports if they chose, you know, whatever they're choosing. So I think that's on the way. The games themselves are going to be great. I think it's a win for the consumer when you think about broadcast television. Everybody's talking about broadcast television is dying. No, you're going to have to go to CBS, NBC, and Fox to see most of these games. Actually, I think Big Ten Network has the most of any of the platforms in this. I think they have 50 games per year, something like that.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying. The best games are going to be on network television where everybody can see them. It can be at every bar, every frat house, everywhere. And I think that was a big piece of this because, this, as Sean McManus told me, the chairman of CBS Sports, that is unprecedented.
The fact, too, I think there are only a couple of mild surprises in here. One was the fact that if they're going to do any streaming, it's Peacock.
CBS, yeah.
Yeah, CBS will do Paramount, but it sounds like they're going to like simulcast with Paramount.
Yeah, they didn't go all in. I know Kevin Warren wanted a streaming piece, and maybe this is the most prudent road right now. Peacock will get 8 exclusive games a
year.
And so, you know, the Big Ten can manipulate those games to, you know, drive people to them. I mean, I think you remember in 1994 when ESPN2 launched and everybody lost their minds because they couldn't see Duke Carolina. That was a brilliant marketing move because it launched ESPN2. You had to get it. Same thing maybe there. Paramount Plus on the CBS platform is going to simulcast their game. You know, so maybe that helps when you're on your phone, stuff like that. But that's, I think it's coming. I think the streaming revolution in sports broadcasting is coming. This was a little step.
And then the other one is that Fox gets 4 of the 7 Big Ten football championship games. CBS gets 2, NBC gets 1. They made sure they tossed a bone to the other two partners.
I'm told that was, by industry sources, that was huge, that the expectation was, because Fox already had the primary rights. You know, what we're reading right now is second and third tier rights. Fox already had everything. They owned the Big Ten Network. They were both a partner and a bidder in this.
Yeah.
That, again, is unprecedented. But when that came out, I had industry people tell me they were shocked that Fox would give up any of those championship games. And I think it's, again, great for the networks, great for the consumer. It's like, it's a Super Bowl setup, you know, where one of the networks gets a Super Bowl every year. CBS gets 2, Fox gets 4, NBC gets 1. You know, and they can all outdo each other with, you know, the production they put on. And again, so I think the consumer benefits from that effect.
Revenue, by the way, this doesn't include the college football playoff money. It doesn't include the bowl games. It doesn't include the NCAA tournament. I'm not even sure if the numbers they put out today include BTN. To be honest about it. So, I mean, the number is actually way higher when you add that in, because when the Big Ten gives out, you know, you hear like Michigan's distribution number, that's for everything. That's not just the TV number.
Yeah, that's BTN has a separate 990 tax return.
Yes.
But on this deal, BTN was included. So I'm just assuming it includes BTN. There was no language to that effect that it wasn't. But again, writers have been, media have been reporting since the beginning there was 80 to 100 million. And if you go 1.2 billion, which I've reported, divided by 16, that's 75 million. You add in tournament and bowl revenue, you easily get to 80 million.
Yeah.
Now, for school, all of this is backloaded.
Yes.
It'll be small in the beginning and big at the end. And it's just think of an AAV, think of an average annual value. And that's what this is. And that's the best way to refer to it. But the money is significant. I mean, they're going to be – I'm being conservative here. The SEC and Big Ten are going to be $30 million annually per school ahead of the next best competitor. And I frankly think it's probably more like 40 at the end of the day, because Pac-12, Big 12 haven't gotten done yet.
And not only haven't gotten done, but now they're vulnerable because – no Texas, no Oklahoma, no USC, UCLA. So you're right, the gap could be great, because ESPN can sit there and say, hey, look, we still want to carry you, but we want to do it more under our terms and not just your terms.
Yeah, because they're not involved in this, you know, again, that's unprecedented. They had a 40-year relationship with ESPN and the Big Ten. They can now be a quote-unquote kingmaker between, you know, the Pac-12 and the Big 12. What do they want? What is best for them? Is it a 16-team Big 12 with four Pac-12s? Is it like they stand now, 10 and 12? You know, how does ESPN make the most money? ESPN needs the fourth window. They don't have the fourth window, mm-hmm. which is the late night game starts basically, just think of after 10 o'clock Eastern. They would have that with the Pac-12, but they'd also have that in the Big 12. The Big 12, you know, poach teams from them. That's going to be fascinating to watch, because just like ESPN orchestrated Texas-Oklahoma to the SEC, they're going to orchestrate what those two conferences look like in the future.
No question. I'll get to the college football playoff expansion in a moment, but the financial gap that you and I are talking about of 30 to 40 million of SEC Big Ten versus others, what do you think that can do competitively long term in college football?
Well, it's, look, the competitive imbalance is there. I sound like I'm mimicking Nick Saban. You know, he ought to know better than anybody else. He created a large piece of it, and SEC did. So that's there. It's going to be harder to beat those guys. Is there any reason they should play the American or the Sun Belt? Those are questions to be answered. I think competitively, you've got those other conferences have to just hope for access in the playoff. I think they'll get it. I don't think we're ready for that breakaway from the 131. Yeah. But I think the next discussion to be had is over playoff expansion and playoff revenue. Then we'll know, because as I quoted an administrator in that main news story saying, mm-hmm. it's not even worth talking about anymore. It's not a Power 5. It's a Power 2.
Yeah.
And so if anybody expects those eight conferences now we're talking about below SEC and Big Ten to get a full playoff share in the future, I think they're kidding themselves. I mean, that'll be the first thing.
No, Mike Oresko said, look, I'm dropping the Power 6 thing. I mean, he did do
that. Yeah, about that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that tells you just what the mentality is of everybody across the board. Notre Dame at some point will get, they'll have a deal negotiated with somebody as to what they're going to do, whether it's with NBC or whether they decide and look at the landscape and say we need a conference. How important is access to the college football playoff for Notre Dame as a priority?
Well, let me go back one step. I think if most people's conclusion right now that Notre Dame's going to stay independent.
Yeah.
I don't think any of this would happen today or yesterday.
That's right.
Forces them into a conference.
I agree.
Because they're going to be accounted for in playoff expansion. We already knew that from the 12 mop.
Right, and that,
you know, they were going to get
right, and that's why I asked the question the way I did. That priority is the chip that keeps them from a conference.
Yeah, they have access, so they're going to have access. Whether it's 12, certainly if it's 16, 16, you know, that's a great story to do. Go back right now and see. Just take how many times that Notre Dame finished in the top 16 of the AP poll. There's your answer.
Yep.
About their access.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine that's a pretty big percentage. They would probably get, you know, pretty good access in 16, and certainly with 12, where it was modeled that they would never get a first-round bye, but in exchange for that would not have to play, or obviously doesn't have to play a conference championship game. And they were fine with that. They didn't want to play, you know, they would have to win four games in any given year, or was it three? I think it's three to get to the championship. Three games in any given year, whether they were ranked 1 or 15.
Right.
And that was their trade-off to get access.
Right, exactly. With the expansion of the college football playoff, there's been concern that, you know, when you're not on ESPN, you don't get talked about. That's the NHL argument for years. If there is an expansion from 12 or to 16, in all likelihood, that means multiple media partners. Does that then take away the fact, hey, look, they don't talk about you, but it doesn't matter, we still get in?
Yeah, I think this is, you know, in a way, a win for ESPN, and then they can keep their powder dry for bidding on the playoff.
Yes.
I think you're right. We're resigned to the fact that it's not going to be a single carrier anymore. I mean, just look what happened today. Look at the money that was made from that. Frankly, college football is the only entity I can think of at that level that doesn't have multiple partners. Baseball has it. Hockey has it. Mm-hmm. NFL has it. NBA has it for the championship. So that's going to happen. The other part of that I should remind, I was told yesterday ESPN is not necessarily out of the Big Ten deal as we're speaking about it right now. I think Kevin Warren still wants to expand. I think he would. I had a person call me and ask desperately, had I heard about Cal, Oregon, Stanford, and Washington? And I said, not since I wrote it late last month. That was yesterday. Apparently that's going around. So that's not dead yet. And guess who would pick that up if the Big Ten wanted to go to 20 teams and go to whole hog for July 1st of next year when this contract starts? ESPN at a discounted rate, because the rights holders have already determined they're not worth, you know, what are we talking about, $80 million per year.
Right.
Maybe ESPN does a separate deal and just pays for those games. I mean, I don't know. I'm just speculating. At a lower rate.
Well, yeah, because right now, if you went to them and it said, let's just use the basic number of 80, we need $320 million more per year because we're adding four schools. Nobody's going to do that, but at a but at a different rate, which would be the Rutgers rate until 2027, right? Because Rutgers doesn't get a full cut till 2027 because they borrowed so much money. I mean, now you start doing it that way, now you can jerry-rig your deal, right?
Yeah, and you can sell. You've got more inventory. You're monopolizing the market, which we're, this whole discussion is about that. You're coast-to-coast. You've got a West Wing for your conference along with USC and UCLA, and you can sell to your president. And I think this is Kevin Warren's play, I think, ultimately. You can go to your president and say, we have a chance to assemble the best athletic and academic conference that has ever been. If we do this, you know, are you in? That's what I think he's trying to do. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I think that's the attempt.
And by the way, on the academic side, all four are AEU schools.
Yep.
So, you know, and you know, and that plays big with the Big Ten presidents and chancellors.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I'm saying. I mean, Stanford, Cal.
Yep.
You know, in no way would you figure Cal would be part of it.
I know.
But, you know, the three best brands left that are quote unquote available are Oregon, Washington, and then to a lesser degree, Stanford. Cal's almost a throw-in academically.
Right.
You know, we can talk about Clemson, Florida State, and Miami, but again, they're bound by a 14-year contract or 14 years left in it, and there's no signs that look like they're going to leave that.
Well, I've said to people many times, Dennis, on the show, if the grant of rights were so easy to get out, why are Texas and Oklahoma still in the Big 12 this year, and why are USC and UCLA waiting till 24?
Well, because they're not easy to get out, and in particular, the Big 12, I'm intimately involved. I've seen the grant of rights.
Yeah,
it's a huge legal document. I know. I've read it. I know how it was constructed. It was made, I guess, what the verb is, but it was made in the state of Delaware, where, just for example, it makes it harder for Texas to get out, for lack of a better term.
Right.
Because they have sovereign immunity in Texas. So the conference is protected. And then when they did this last summer, remember, there's 4 years left. So it was just a discussion, was it going to be three or two or one? Worst case scenario, you play all 4 years out, SEC still gets rich, Texas and Oklahoma still gets rich, you know, and you're still there.
Right, exactly, because the Big 12 number tops out at about $40 million per school at the end.
About 44.
Yeah, 44, okay. 44 at the end. I know at one point the conference commissioners, Swarbrick, the presidents and so forth were talking about, okay, what do we do with the future of college football playoff? These are all initial discussions. What are you seeing out of that?
Well, the Big Ten deal now clears the way for that discussion.
Yeah.
Expansion. Again, what they're going to get for expansion, who your partner's going to be. Mark Keenum said, I forget who had this story, but it was a pretty significant story this year. I think it was Heather Dinich at ESPN. Mark Keenum, the chair of the board of managers, the presidents who run the CFP, casually said, I'd like to have something done by next summer. Whoa, we thought we were going till 26.
Yeah.
And Mark Keenum is the president of Mississippi State, by the way.
Yes.
He's the chair of the president. And so I think that's significant. I think that was a message being sent to the commissioners. If you bring us something, we'll do it. I was told in that January 10th meeting that in Indianapolis, remember that, the day of the championship game where they shot it down?
Yep.
I was told that the presidents came in there thinking, well, all we have to do is rubber stamp this. And there were so many issues going into that meeting. We found out with the alliance, with the three conferences that voted against it, they weren't even informed on that stuff. I'm not blaming them. I'm just telling you what happened. Now, this thing's had time to breathe, play out. You can do the pros and cons of 12 or 16. You know what money's involved. You know, with the SEC and Big Ten, you can put it out the bid, and you've got those presidents, if they're academically inclined, they have to be conscientious to the athlete and all this. That's why I think revenue sharing is coming. I think you're going to have multi-year health insurance beyond eligibility.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Pac-12 has that.
Yep.
But I think that's a no-brainer because you can afford it.
This is great, Dennis. Thanks so much for the time, especially on a day like this. I really appreciate it.
Steve, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Almel's Wharf online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And also a great service department as well. Looking, by the way, for more technicians. All right, let's turn our attention to our old friend Dave Revson from BTN. Dave, how have you been?
I am doing great, Steve. We just rolled into West Lafayette, stop number 14 on our tour of the Big Ten, but who's counting? And so, yeah, we wrap up the tour tomorrow, but it's been really a great few weeks here, and I've learned quite a bit and obviously had the chance to chat with a lot of people and watch a lot of football, and always fun.
Yeah, I know. The day you were in, I was doing baseball, so I missed you. So when you guys came in. So when you were here at Penn State, what were your impressions?
Man, it's so long ago. I'm trying to remember.
I know.
Yeah. No, I'm good. You know, really, I think pretty positive. It felt like, you know, to me, kind of the big questions were offensive line deficiency and developing a run game. And it felt like they were definitely better on the offensive line. And then, I mean, I really like Nick Singleton and Catron Allen when we were there. Both those guys are really impressive. So I think they'll have a better run game. And then, you know, the star power they lost on defense and kind of integrating Manny Diaz, and you know, kind of hard to tell for me schematically. I wouldn't say I'm an expert there, but you know, Manny Diaz comes with a really great track record, and the guys seem to have taken to him well, and they definitely have a lot of talent. So, yeah, I mean, I came away, you know, pretty positive. I think we've probably seen two teams in the East that maybe jumped out a little bit more, frankly, in Ohio State and Michigan. But I think Penn State is right there in the conversation, and you know, you kind of feel like those games will come down to, you know, who makes one play here or there to win them.
All right, so when you looked at the other places, give me a couple of things that really stuck out to you, whether it's athleticism or depth, about a couple of other places you went to, Dave.
Well, it does start with Ohio State, I think, Steve. They just, even when they don't win the league, which, you know, they didn't last year, they still physically were the most impressive team that we saw in preseason last year, which tells you something, right? I mean, the most impressive team doesn't always win it. But that was the case again, I'd say, this year, although I've got to say it felt like the gap closed pretty significantly with Michigan. Now, Michigan was really impressive yesterday. It was as good a practice as we've seen. You know, offensively, they're really good. I mean, they don't have you know, there's a difference between C.J. Stroud and Michigan's quarterbacks. But I got to tell you, I mean, the ball rarely hits the ground with Cade McNamara. He makes fabulous decisions. He was really good yesterday. They've got an outstanding wide receiver group. And their offensive line is, I mean, it's wow. It's really, really impressive. So I'm not sure the gap is that significant. I would say that Michigan has probably closed it a little bit, just kind of based on what we saw one day of practice. I think it's fair to point out that Michigan was further along than Ohio State and Penn State when we saw them in terms of where they were on the calendar. You know, so if you're a week more into practice, maybe you look a week better, and maybe that accounts for a little bit of it. But that was eye-opening yesterday, how good Michigan was.
What did you think of, you mentioned Cade McNamara, what did you think of J.J. McCarthy?
Look, I think J.J. McCarthy athletically is superior to Cade McNamara. I don't think there's a question about that. I'm not sure many people would debate it. But, man, Cade McNamara, I mean, we saw a lot of team with Michigan yesterday. And that's the other thing, right? It's kind of like, what do you happen to see at that practice? Kind of where are they on the schedule? What are they doing? It was a team-intensive day. And so you're able to really gauge, I think, a little bit more just in kind of decision-making. Man, he makes great decisions with the ball. I mean, he always puts it in the right place. So, yeah, it's not so much an indictment of J.J. McCarthy in any way. It's just, if you're as talented as Michigan is, I don't know whether kind of that risk-reward of J.J. is worth it. I mean, that's not to say you wouldn't use him some, and much the way they used him some last year, but it's just that I'm not sure why you would go away from Cade McNamara, just, again, based on what we saw because of the decisions he makes and his accuracy, and, you know, he's just really sound.
Okay, this is, by the way, year 15 for BTN, or the 15 years now at BTN.
Yep.
And you've been on board since day one. I know that when you went to interview, your friends at ESPN were like, what are you doing? What was it that made you say, you know what, this is different, and I'm going to take the risk and go?
Well, my friends at ESPN didn't know I was interviewing. I didn't really tell anyone what I was doing, including my parents. When I took the job, they were like, "What are you doing?" And I, you know, I've talked a little bit about it. I don't know, maybe you saw that there was an article written about it this week, and I actually talked to another reporter the other day. I think there's going to be an article coming out maybe next week on kind of an oral history of the Big Ten Network. So, I was just in an interesting point in my time at ESPN, Steve. I was, you know, going into my fourth contract, and they made me a really good offer in terms of the amount of time that they wanted me to be there, but I felt like financially it wasn't quite where I wanted to be. And unfortunately, I think, and I get it, like, I think in that day and age, particularly, ESPN felt like, we'll pay you kind of what the market values you at, and I'd never gone out on the open market. I'd never gone out to see what maybe someone else might be willing to pay me, because I was really happy at ESPN. And so, as I've described, I really interviewed with the Big Ten Network more than anything, just to get an offer, just to kind of create some leverage. I didn't know anything about the Big Ten Network. Obviously I knew it was going to cover the Big Ten. I'm not that dumb, but I didn't understand kind of the scope and the scale of the enterprise. I just didn't know what it was going to be. And when I interviewed, particularly the second interview, I went with for the first interview and was intrigued. And in fact, I went and called my wife. We were the Big Ten Network at that time was in like a temporary office on Michigan Avenue in Chicago. They hadn't finished the offices yet, and we were just down the street from Water Tower Place. And so I went into, for those who might not be familiar with Water Tower Place, it's a big mall.
Yeah.
And I went like into the darkest, deepest corners of one of the department stores where I was convinced that no one would know who the heck I was. And I called my wife on my cell phone and said, we were talking a little bit, and I had maybe a few hours until I was heading to the airport, and I'm just killing time. And she's like, "Hey, you know, how you doing? What was the deal there?" And I said to her, "You know, I think I might really want this job." And she paused, and she said to me, I'll remember this for the rest of my life, Steve. She said, that was not the plan. You know, we were really happy at ESPN. I mean, we love living in Connecticut. Even though I'm from Chicago, it was a really easy place to raise a family, and we had a ton of friends there. And so that was, you know, the plan was to kind of go interview, get an offer, and kind of see where that took me at ESPN. But then I kind of explained to her what it was, and she understood why I was intrigued. And, I don't think I understood that I was the only person they were talking to, and that they wanted me to be their lead host, and that they were kind of, you know, going to build the studio part of the network around me. Like, I just didn't get any of that. You know, they had all these plans for me that I wasn't privy to until I got there that day. But then more so really understanding, you know, just the number of games they were going to have. I mean, my thought was that it was going to be just centralizing the games that have been syndicated in the past that had just been on, you know, these local markets. So when I understood that it wasn't really that, I was kind of intrigued. And then they had me out maybe a week or two later, I think, to meet with Mark Silverman and Jim Delaney. And that was when I was totally sold. I just absolutely was blown away by both of those guys. And kind of, I remember thinking to myself, maybe, I don't know, 15 or 20 minutes into this dinner we were having, I thought to myself, I'm going where they're going. You know, wherever these guys want to take me, I'm on board. I just was so impressed. I didn't know either one of them. I'd met Jim in passing one time in a press box. I'd never met Mark. And I was just blown away. And so then... You know, then kind of let my wife know what was going on, that I was, you know, that if they made me an offer, that I really want to consider it very seriously, and they did within a matter of days, and you know, kind of wasn't all that interested, frankly, in whatever ESPN's counter was at that point. ESPN treated me really well on my way out the door. They were fabulous. I think I was one of the few people ever to announce that I was leaving ESPN and remain on the air. They kept me on the air for about six more weeks, and you know, did the same shows I was always doing, and it wasn't like, you know, they buried me on some sort of miserable shift or anything. So it was very cordial, but yeah, I mean, I think in that interim period where I was still in Bristol and still doing shows, to your original question here maybe 5 minutes ago, I definitely got some confused looks from people and kind of a, why in the world would you walk away from this to do that? But I really never doubted it. You know, that time where I was kind of walking around, I remember walking around the campus there in Bristol one of my last days and kind of thinking to myself, I'm supposed to have these doubts and regrets, but I was just so excited for the next chapter. I was really ready to go and really never had a second thought that it was the right move for me. And that being said, honestly, Steve, I had high hopes for it, but it has exceeded my expectations. It's even better than I thought it was going to be, and again, I thought it would be pretty good.
Yeah, I know the feeling, because in my job, I feel this. When TV contract that comes out, you know, and of course with USC and UCLA is going to be expanded inventory anyway, but it gives BTN up to 50 football games a year eventually in this deal. How exciting is that for the network that there's an increase in inventory?
It's fantastic. I mean, you know, again, like this is just a great day for the Big Ten, period, with this announcement today on so many levels. But certainly it's a great day for the Big Ten network. I mean, we will play a very prominent role in all of this. As you said, the number of games increases for us going forward in this contract, and obviously we'll be very much the home of basketball as we have been in all the Olympic sports. So yeah, I mean, it's a great day.
Yes.
I'm excited. I'm fired up. I obviously want to learn more. You know, being on the road, I'm not in a position to speak to, you know, kind of everyone in charge there in Chicago, but I'll do that next week. But I know that they were really enthusiastic kind of as news of this started to leak here a couple weeks ago, and I had a chance to interact with some people then. And yeah, I mean, I can't see it as anything but positive for us. It's been such an amazing ride. It's incredible to think it will be 50 15 years here at the end of August, our 16th season of covering the Big Ten, and I'm just fired up to see what the next 15 look like.
This is going to become, in slightly less than 2 years, a coast-to-coast conference, which nobody 15 years ago could have envisioned. When you look at the addition of USC and UCLA to go with the dynamic of what the Big Ten already has, what does this do, in your opinion, for the Big Ten and also for the network?
Well, it does. It makes it a national league. And I would say this. I think one thing that has really struck me, and I've said this a lot, Steve, I've used this line before. I mean, you know, there are 6 million plus Big Ten, living Big Ten alumni, and I've always kind of said I'm honored to be the one who gets to sit there and present the games of these schools that mean so much to these people. And I think that that has really been reinforced to me. And we've been a national network for a long time in the sense that I can go to California and, you know, this happens, right? Like, kind of wherever I go. I mean, I was in Alaska 5-6 summers ago, and someone comes up and introduces themselves and tells me they're a Nebraska fan living up there, and what a lifeline we've been for them. So anywhere you go in this country, the Big Ten Network has already touched people. The Big Ten Network is already significant in people's lives because of the national scope of those 6 million plus alums. The difference now is that we're going to have schools from coast to coast, and yeah, and so you become more important in that sense, right? I mean, there's already people watching us in L.A. for whom we are that lifeline, but now we're going to be covering those schools. And so that, to me, is the difference. And now maybe, I don't know if that number goes from 6.5 million to whatever it is. Maybe it's 7.5 million, 8 million. I guess I don't know the number of living alums for USC and UCLA. I'll have to find it out so I can revise my numbers upward. But that to me, is the difference, Steve. It's just kind of you go from being a lifeline for people in some of these areas to being a major part of their day-to-day because obviously now you've got two new schools involved. So, yeah, I mean, these have been transformative days for sure over the last 6 weeks or so in the Big Ten with the addition of those schools and with the announcement of this package here today.
Dave, it's always a pleasure. Enjoy seeing Purdue tomorrow. And look forward to seeing you down the road. You're the best at what you do.
All right, my friend. Right back at you. Thanks so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Refson, BTN. We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
I've always stood on my innocence and always said that I've never assaulted anyone or disrespected anyone, and I'm continuing to stand on that. But at the same time, I have to continue to push forward with my life and my career. And for us to be able to move forward, you know, I have to be able to take steps and put pride to the side. And I'm going to continue to stand on my innocence and keep pushing forward. And I've always, you know, stood on not disrespecting or sexual assaulting anyone.
What are you apologizing for then? What are you apologizing for?
For everyone that was affected about this situation. There was a lot of people that was triggered.
But not the women that accused you of this?
I've apologized to all women. So anybody that was affected, even yourself, everything. So I'm apologizing to everyone that was affected about this whole situation.
No good! No good! No good!
That was Deshaun Watson today. Yeah, I don't know who's advising him, but they're not doing a good job. But he gets 11 games. It's a negotiated settlement between the Players Association and the league. Nobody ends up being happy about it. But the league gets from 6 games to 11. That's what they get out of it. The Players Association, instead of 16 games of, or 17 games, a full season, gets 11 out of it. So that's what they end up in the middle of. Also, the other part of it, that too, that is also not in dispute, is that, he, you know, despite 2 attempts at a grand jury, there was no indictment. Now, you can debate how that came about, but it is a fact. That doesn't mean it's right, but that's the fact that they have to lean on, saying, well, yeah, it's 11 games, it's $5 million fine. And again, for all we know, and I don't know the NFL collective bargaining agreement, for all we know, $5 million is the max you could be at. I don't know. But the first game back, ironically, is at NRG Stadium against the Houston Texans. Talk about irony. But at least now the Browns know where they need to go. They now know how long it's going to be. And as for Watson, he has not endeared himself with the answers he's given in his media sessions. It just seems to be no level of remorse whatsoever.
And then did you see what the ownership had to say?
No,
about Deshaun Watson and like him growing as a person. He's 26. It doesn't happen overnight. Look who's talking, Jimmy Haslam.
Yeah.
I was just stunned by that answer. I shouldn't be stunned by anything the Cleveland Browns do, but that stunned me.
Yeah, well, you get into situations like these, and you don't know how to answer anything. You know that? I mean, think about it. I mean, imagine if you're in that spot, and you have to answer for somebody else. Now, the Browns are in this spot because they traded for him. The Browns are in this spot because they wanted him.
And there you go.
They gave him the deal. So with that does come the responsibility to come up with better answers. But they made the deal knowing that they were going to have to face this. Big day for the Big Ten. TV deal is set. We're going to try and get Brett McMurphy, by the way, on the show to talk about this escalator idea with Washington, Oregon, Stanford, Cal, and see how real that is. It's interesting.